This morning, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And kind of interesting when you think about that. In those times, whenever that was written, that's Psalm 113, that was 1,500 years before Christ, probably. And thought, man, how's that going to happen? How's God's name going to be praised all around the world? You know what? It's happening today. It's the fulfillment of the book of Acts from there on in the missions in Acts. Chapter number 1, going to all the world and preach the gospel. Starting there at Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. And praise God for that. Go over to John this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter number 21. John 21 and verse number 15. John 21, verse number 15. Let's read down to the end of the chapter today. It says, now, this is after Peter and the disciples went fishing. After they went fishing, Jesus called them up on the shore and they drew a great net of fishes up there. He had a little breakfast with them that morning. Now he's going to single out one disciple out of the whole bunch. Peter. He's got some questions for him. So let's look here at verse number 15. John 21, verse number 15. Now it tells us here in the Gospel of John, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. That was the death of crucifixion. And when he had thus spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, the writer of this gospel, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then with this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die, yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if he will tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I'm not going to preach on 25, but I just thought it was cool to read it. You know, to think about that. If everything Christ would have done, you know, there were times when he healed multitudes of people, the Bible says. Multitudes. Not just one blind man. But hundreds and thousands of people. Imagine if their story was told. He says the books wouldn't be able to contain it. But we return back to the text this morning to these questions. these questions here after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he asks Simon Peter here, "Lovest thou me?" And I think today before us, I think we have probably one of the hardest questions proposed before us in the Word of God. Do you love me? I don't know if there's a harder question than that to answer today, truthfully. Truthfully. Now, if I were to ask you today to raise your hand, who in here, how many of you in here love Jesus? I would say, I dare say that 99% of you would raise your hands. You always have to say, yeah, I have to be like that antibacterial commercial, right? 99.99% of you, right? We can't include all of you. I'd say that probably 90% of you, 99% of you say, yes, I love Jesus. But how do you act? If given the chance to properly consider that question, which we're going to do today, and what is involved in how you've treated him, or maybe how you've broken his commands, or maybe you've been like Peter and you've denied him, I tell you what, this question gets a little bit deeper than just, yes, a Sunday school answer, I love Jesus. It gets a little bit deeper than just wearing a little pin that says, I love God. It gets a little bit deeper than just a little bit of somebody raising their hand saying, I love Jesus. The question even gets much harder by the third time, because the Bible even alludes to us and tells us that Peter was grieved, the Bible says, whenever he came to him the third time. Do you love me? Do you love me? He was upset. Grieving means that he was almost at the point of tears. Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. So it's a difficult question. And I want us to face it today. I've been facing this thing all week, and I've been thinking about it and praying about it and thinking and meditating on it and asking God, is this what you want, Lord? Is this what you want? And man, I'm just reading over this thing, and I've just been thinking it more and more in my heart. Do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Lovest thou me? Do I love him? Do I love God? 3 points today. The first one is hear. The second one is respond. The third one is listen. Three words. Hear, respond, listen. The first thing I tell you today is this, is yet you need to hear what Jesus has to say. Why was it so hard for Peter to hear that question three times over? Well, all you have to do is go back a couple of chapters and you can find out why it was probably grieved into his heart. You just have to go back a little ways and you can find out that, as we've already alluded to, that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, what? How many times? Conveniently? Three times. Three times he denied him. Even before that, when Jesus told them in the garden, he said, hey, stop here and pray a while. And he came to him. What did he find them doing? Three times. Sleeping. Sleeping. And he said, could you not even pray with me for 1 hour? What a difficult question for us. Could you even pray to God for 1 hour? Can you pray for 1 minute? 10 minutes? 30 minutes? When was the last time that you spent an hour praying to God? You see, the question is getting deeper, isn't it? We're digging deep today. We're asking this question, do we really love the Lord? Here was a man that he said, I will never leave you, right? I will even die for you. I will, though all men leave you, he said, I will not. And yet he did. And yet he did deny him. He even denied him to the place that it even says at the third time, at the third denial, what does he do? He even curses. He even curses. He even hides his so-called, you might even say, Christianity by a few cuss words. Tries to cover it up. Tries to be a good little actor, but God was not lied to. God was not fooled. Jesus was not fooled. Even in the third denial, do you know in the book of John that after the third denial, that after Peter curses and Peter denies the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Bible says that looking from the hall, it's Jesus turning to Peter and they meet eye to eye. And Peter runs out grieving and crying. Even at the resurrection, you remember what the angels told the ladies? He said, go and tell the disciples and Peter, I have risen. And just a very short time, probably about 2 weeks' time, in about 2 weeks' time, Peter had gone from a great godly man to a very fleshly man, going back to his old ways of fishing. People say this all the time. Love is action, isn't it? Love is not words. Love is action. People say it all the time. I love you. Don't they? Wives say it to husbands. Husbands say it to wives. People say it to their girlfriends or boyfriends. People say it to their moms or dads. People say it to their family members. They say, I love you. I love you. And that's great. My mom, whenever she was a child, she never heard her dad say that one time. She never heard him say it. Never one time. It wasn't until she was later on and her dad was coming to the end of his life that he actually began to say, I love you, to her. But not one time did he ever tell her he loved her. That's good. You need to tell your children you love them. But here's the thing. You better back up your words with your actions. Because love is an action. It's an action verb. It's a verb that requires you to do something about it. People say, I love you all the time. I care about you. I'm concerned about you. But they express no care or concern. They offer no helping hands. They do nothing for anybody. Don't even bother. Just keep your words in your mouth. People are content to live without the thought of God so many times to conduct their daily affairs. They are content to do whatever they would like to do. But they say, I love God. I love God. But you know what? He's nowhere on the calendar. He's nowhere on the books. He's nowhere in our life. How can we say that we love God and yet we do things that are contrary to God? Why do you say that you love me and do not the things that I say? He says it one time. And so we must deal with this. Do you love me? He's asked. Isn't it amazing how quickly, as I've already said, our love of God can wane? How quickly it can seem that we can be just in a wonderful relationship with God, but all of a sudden, in just a matter of 2 weeks, here He is. Right before the resurrection, right before the death, and up to this point, just in 2 weeks, we find Peter, he cannot pray, he denies the Lord, now he's off fishing and doing what God told him not to do. I've told you, now I'm making you fishers of men. You're no longer fishers out of here in the sea. You're now fishers of men. And then all of a sudden, in 2 weeks' time, he's doing exactly what God called him away from. But you know what? We're not much different than Peter, are we? I mean, just in a moment, in a second, we can lose our testimony, can't we? In just one moment, in one fell swoop, the devil can come in and can make us fall into a pit of despair. Some kind of hole of despondency, some kind of snare of temptation takes us, and boom, off we go to the races. One day we're sitting in church, we're reading our Bibles, we're listening to good godly music. And all of a sudden, the next day, we're off in the world. We're off. That's why that song there, it says, Come Thou Fountain. He says, my heart is what? So many times it's prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We've got to be so careful with this. We've got to understand that it can happen to us at any moment of any time. But you get off in this place and you get off into this despondency, you get off in this pit, you get off in this snare of temptation. And this is why I say the point is this, it is here. You need to listen. You need to hear what's being said. Because you may be just in this pit. You may be right now, right at this very moment, and there's one of those times in your life. You might be a Peter right now, and you're sitting in the service, and the Lord Jesus Christ is asking you a question. Do you love me? In fact, I know He's asking you a question because it's right here in the book. It's in the book. You say, that's to Peter. You know what? The Word of God is written to all of us. It was good for him and it's good for me. And it's good for you, my friend. You need to examine yourself and think about this morning. Do I love Jesus? What do you do with such a question? He asks him, he says, do you love me more than these? That's the first thing that he says. Now, some say, well, that is the fish that he's talking about. Some people think that maybe he's talking about the disciples. I don't care which one you refer it to. I don't think there needs to be a debate over the matter. Let's go ahead and apply both of them. Do you love me more than these? Maybe he is looking at the fish. And sometimes, you know, maybe God needs to ask us that question in our life. About our material possessions, about our careers, about our jobs, about our things, about our houses, about our homes, about the things that we've accumulated in our life so many times, about our families even. Doesn't even it say in Luke chapter number 14, if a man hate not his father or his mother or his brother or sister or wife, he says, what, this man cannot even be my disciple? We have to love God with an ultimate and pure love, with a love that expresses preeminent love. A love that is before everything and anything else. Lovest thou me more than these? Maybe he is looking at the fishes. And maybe he is saying, hey Peter, you had a good time fishing. Man, you brought in some fish. 153 of great fishes, for Peter. He says, was that worth it? You love me more than these? Are you willing to give up this stuff more than you're willing to serve me? Do you want to keep fishing, Peter? Or do you want to serve me? What do you want to do, Peter? What do you want to do with life? What is it in your life? And what is it in your life, my friend? What's more important to you right now than God? What is it? Is it a family member? Is it a job? Is it your money? Is it your stuff that you got going on this afternoon? Hey, stop thinking for just one second what you got going on for this afternoon. Ladies and men, hey, guys, let's just stop for one second about what we're going to eat here in just a little bit, all right? And let's just start to think about what do we love God? Do we love God more than material things that are out there? Do we love God more than the things that we can accumulate? More than the things that we have? Do we love God more than these? But maybe even a deeper question that he proposes, it may be this. Do you love me more than these guys? Peter had already told him in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 33, he says, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never leave thee. When it comes to your love for Christ, that you've claimed Him, that you love Him very much, seems like so many times that people, as they grow old in Christ, that their love grows cold in Christ. And that ought not to be the case. We ought to have a heart and have a desire like John had. You know, John, whenever he was a young disciple, you know, at one point, John said, the apostle of love. You know, that's what they call him. And sometimes in the commentaries, they call John the apostle of love. You know what he was whenever he was just a young man? You know what he said to the town of Samaria that wouldn't listen to Jesus? He said, Jesus, why don't you send down some hellfire and brimstone and burn up the town? He says, you know not what you say. You don't even know what you're talking about. Another time, there was a man that was preaching the gospel of the kingdom that was not with them. And he said, hey, stop him from doing it. He says, he that's not with us, he's that's not against us, is for us. Here was a man that had wrath, he had anger, he had some hatred in his heart. But you know what? By the time that he was 95 years old, he was writing about love. He had grown in his love. He had grown in his love for God. You read 1 John, you can find that very much out. That he had loved God. His love did not grow cold with age. But so many times when we're Christians, I've been saved for over 10 years now, and I can tell you this, my friend, sometimes it can be a little habitual. It can sometimes just be a little rote. And sometimes we can get in the habit of, well, I go to church, or I read my Bible, or I do this, or I do that. But sometimes our love grows cold and we don't obey Him as much as we ought to do. You say, well, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I didn't know much in life. You know, now I'm more refined in my thinking. I don't have to, I've kind of gotten past some of those things. Really? Really? God just kind of, at one time He convicted you of those kinds of things and told you those kinds of things were wrong. But all of a sudden, God's words have changed on some things, I guess, haven't they? When you first got saved, you had a love for God. You had a love for God to do what was right. Why? Because you loved God. Not because you wanted people to respect you or people to look at you or people to say this about you. No, you just loved God and so you obeyed God. You did what God wanted you to do because you loved Him. You loved Him. Maybe you don't serve Him like you used to do because, oh, you know, I've got other things to do. I've got other important matters to tend to. And besides, you know, God is sovereign and God is providential and God will get His work done. But do you know what? That doesn't change the fact of whether or not you should love God. Or whether you should serve God. And decide to serve Him and to love Him and to be in His service. We sometimes let our love grow cold. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't go to church anymore. Well, you know, those things are different. We just don't do those things anymore. We just don't do those as much as we would like to do them anymore. Folks, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Or has it grown cold? You say, well, I don't have to help out anymore. Others can take care of that. I don't have to do those things. What happened to the days when men and women came to church, they served in the church, they taught us Sunday school, they sang out of the hymns? What happened to the day whenever people ran a bus route, they went on visitation, they told some people about the Lord, not because the pastor told them to do it, but because they loved God? They love God. They didn't come to church so they could listen to a fine sermon, or they didn't come to church so they could criticize the preacher. They didn't come to church because of those reasons. They came to church. They did the things that they did. They obeyed God. Why? Because they loved God. That was the reason. That was the motivation. And I think Jesus is trying to check out the motivation with Peter here, and he's trying to say, Peter, where you at on this thing, Peter? Where you at on this thing? Where you at on the scale of my love for your love for me? What are you doing here, Peter? Why are you out here fishing, Peter? What's the deal, Peter? What's going on, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? It would do some of us a good, great deal if we just got a real good dose of I love Jesus. If we went down, if we was able to go down to the drugstore, down to the drugstore of the Word of God and of prayer and of asking God some things and say, you know what I need, God? I need a good dose of I love Jesus. I don't love Jesus like I ought to. I don't love Jesus like I should. I don't love Jesus the way I ought to love Him. You know what oftentimes we do? That we are like Peter, though, in the sense that, you know what we do? We say, well, what about this guy over here? That's what we like to do, isn't it? He looks at John, who's walking a little bit ways down the road, and he says, hey, what's going to happen to this guy over here? What about him? What about what's going on with him? Hey, I'm looking a little bit better than him. What about him? And we like to point at everybody else, and we like to look at everybody else. The Bible, I believe, says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And so when you start comparing yourself and pointing yourself out and saying, well, I'm a little bit better than that person, a little bit better than that person, a little bit better than that person, you know what you are? You're a fool. Because last time I checked, the opposite of being wise is a fool. You're a fool. Because you're trying to compare yourself among yourself. You don't compare yourself with anybody else. Do you know who you line yourself up with? You line yourself with God and His Word. And you know what you find out every single time? If you're saved, and especially if you're unsaved, you find yourself coming short. I don't match up. I'm not right. I'm not good. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when you compare yourself with God, then you get the right standard. But when you compare yourself with other people, you know what you got? You just got a rubber ruler. That's all you got. You don't have the right standard, my friend. Do you love God? You better hear. You better hear. He's asking you a question. He's asking you a question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Are you just going to shut him down? And that's what so many people do. That's our second thing is this. You better respond. Peter says, I love you, God. You know I love you. But you know what so many people do so many times? When God convinces them, God convicts them about something, you know what they do? They're like the Pharisees when they ran upon Stephen. They shut their ears and they ignore. We've got too many ignoring Christians today. We've got too many grieving Christians that are grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit. God's telling you, He's asking you a point blank question. Do you love me? Do you care about me? Do you want to serve me? Do you want to do what's right? I don't want to deal with that right now. Praise God, at least Peter responded. At least Peter said something. At least Peter spoke up. At least he said, I do love you. But so many times we just turn God off. Some of you right now you've already turned me off. When I open the Bible, you turned me off. You know how I know that? Because I've been there.
You've been there, preacher?
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there in times. You know, when I was especially there was when I was unsaved. I really didn't want to listen to the preaching then. I really didn't want to hear God's word then. I really wanted to shut things down then because I didn't want to hear that I was wrong. I didn't want to hear that I had done something wrong. I didn't want to hear that. Nuh-uh, you don't tell me that. I'm shutting down. I'm counting light bulbs. I'm doing something. I ain't going to listen to you say anything else to me. And my friend, if God's trying to talk to you, God's trying to say something to you, God's trying to tell you something, you better respond. There was a prophet in the Word of God, I believe it was Isaiah, that went to a king and he told him, he said, ask anything of God. And he said, I shall not tempt God. He thought he'd be all spiritual. I wouldn't tempt God with anything. I won't do this. And he said, you're a fool. You're an idiot. I'll give you a sign. I'll give you a sign. And you know what ended up? That king ended up dying. He told him to ask of God. God was coming to you. He's here this morning saying to you, do you love me? Do you love me? That requires a response. Don't just shut him down. Don't just ignore him. Don't just say nothing at all. Peter spoke up every single time. He asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. You know what the Bible calls a non-responsive Christian? A Christian that is either quenching the Spirit or grieving the Spirit. You are grieving Him. You are quenching Him. He is trying to get your attention. You're never going to conquer any sins by ignoring the Spirit of God. You're never going to get control of your temper and have an attitude adjusted by not listening to preachers and not listening to preaching and not listening to the Word of God. Why do you have no control of your temper? Why do you have no control of it? Maybe it's because you refuse to respond. You hear it, but you refuse to say anything. Why can't you learn to not be so bitter? Why can't you just learn to forgive somebody? It's because every single time a sin is brought up in your life, you know what you do? You shut it down. You shut it down. You shut it down. You say, not me, not this time. Not me, not this time. Why can't you give up porn? It's because, you know what? Every single time it comes up, you shut it down. Why can't you give up lust? Why can't you give up some sin in your life that God is saying at one time it was wrong, but all of a sudden, through your epiphany, it's become right? I don't think that's how it works, my friend. Do you love God? Then respond to what He has to say. Hey, even if you're like Elijah, who said, Lord, just kill me right now. Maybe you don't agree with God. Then why don't you just tell Him you don't agree with Him? At least have a dialogue with God. At least be honest with you. He already knows what you feel in your heart. Amen. He already knows what's going on in your mind. He already knows what's happening. Peter said, you know I love you. You should just at least start talking to Him. But no, so many times we don't. Because you know what? Because we're afraid of what that might mean. If I open up the conversation, if I open up the dialogue, then what's going to happen from there? Then I'm going to Papua New Guinea and my wife is about to get raped. That's what some people think. But if you're at that place, you're a long ways, my friend, from ever going to Papua New Guinea, okay? You're a long ways from that. God ain't sending you there anytime soon. If God would have told me what He was going to do with my life and what I was going to be doing and the things I was going to be doing whenever I got saved, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have run away. Understand that God says, I love you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Are you going to answer? Are you going to say anything at all? But that's the way it is. We say so many times, I do love you. I do love you. Oh yes, Lord, I love you. I want to obey you. But I have so many things. I have so many things going on in my life. You're not going to fool God. Even whenever you talk about somebody else, you know what? You're not going to get God off your case that easy. Some people think, well, I think maybe Peter was trying to sidetrack God here. You ain't going to sidetrack Jesus. He might answer your question, but he's going to move right on into what he's just talking to you about. You can't change the subject with God. We say, God's got my number. And you know what? You better be glad He does, my friend. You better be glad He's speaking to your heart. You better be glad He's knocking on some doors this morning. You better be glad He's speaking to some people this morning. You better be glad He's talking to you. I was so glad. I'm glad that God on February the 13th in the year 2003, that God was speaking to me, that God had shot a bow at a venture, that a preacher was preaching. I was sitting on the back row of a balcony and somebody was preaching the Word of God. And I'm glad that God had His number on me that night. And that arrow of the gospel flew right into my heart. And I understood I was a sinner, that no matter what I had done, no matter what I had preached, no matter what I had said, no matter how I had lived, none of that mattered. All that mattered was this. Had I ever believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus, had I repented of my sins, trusted Christ to save me, and believed upon Him, you know what the answer was? It was conclusively, no, I had not. My wife was sitting in this very auditorium when she was just 13 years old, and God drew a bow at a venture. A preacher was preaching up here, and a little preacher's daughter was sitting there. Had I no idea that a little preacher's girl was going to get saved that night. But you know what? The gospel hit her right in the heart, and she realized that she was lost. It didn't matter if it was a preacher's girl. It didn't matter if so many people are making professions. They're making professions. They're saying this, and they're saying that. They'll raise their, I love Jesus. But their lives, their testimonies, they're nothing compares with the gospel. It doesn't line up at all. They've never repented of their sin. They've never had any sorrow of their heart for the things that they've done wrong against God at all. It's like that sermon I heard one time by a man who said, I got saved when I was 7 years old. And he said, I was telling the testimony to somebody, and somebody said to me, oh, a 7 year old cannot do anything much wrong. Oh, you must have not been that big of a sinner. He said, you know what I thought on that night when I got saved? He said, I thought I was the biggest sinner in all the entire world. And that's exactly what a sinner feels whenever they come to trust Christ. They're not looking at anybody else. There's no self-righteousness that's involved. There's no saying, well, I'm a little bit better than that guy. I'm a little bit better than this person. You know what matters is this? I'm not better than God. I'm not better than God. And God is my standard. And I can never reach Him. I can never get to Him. Oh, but praise God, there's a preacher up here who's telling me that somebody is the bridge, somebody is the mediator between me and God. It's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. He's the bridge. He's the go-between us and God. And praise God, He's coming to die for our sins. Maybe you never have, my friend. I tell you today, you better listen. You better hear. You better respond. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, I haven't heard the voice of God in a long time. You say, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I've never been born again. I tell you what, my friend, if you haven't heard the voice of God, you better get along with God. There's nothing sweeter than to hear the sound of God talking to you. Just yesterday, I was riding down the road, and I heard a little song. It just touched my heart. And God reminded me that, you know what? I love you. Do you love me? Oh, a tear came to my eye when I realized, you know what? I love God. But do I show it? Do I believe it? Is it real? Do others see it? He tells them to listen. Here's the third point. Listen. Listen. Respond to Him, hear Him, but listen to Him. The first time He tells them this, He says, feed my lambs. He says, feed my sheep. But then He says, follow me. He tells them, feed my lambs. Peter, feed the little ones, feed the tender ones. I know Peter was probably not at the place where he understood what God was about to do with him in the next couple of weeks. I doubt Peter probably thought that he was about to preach in tongues and see thousands of people saved. I doubt that he probably thought that at all. But from retrospect, we understand that's exactly what was about to happen. We know what was about to happen. We understand that was about to happen. And Jesus is preparing him. He's letting him know, feed my lambs. Feed those little tender ones. Take care of them. Those small ones. And I can tell you that's a message for us today, my friend. Do the small things. Tend to the small things in life.
the tender things. Don't let them get out of hand. Don't let them get away from you. I'll just put it real plain. Don't, men, women, husbands, wives, fathers and mothers, don't forget your children. We have got a lack of parenting today in the United States of America. Let's just boil it down. We've got a lack of parenting in the churches of the United States of America today. Men that are more concerned about their careers, women that are more concerned about their careers. Men and women more concerned about their entertainment, their hobbies, all of the other things that they want to do in life. And you know what? They've got precious little children that are growing up underneath them and they're not doing anything for them at all. Don't even pray for them. Don't even pray for them. Never have cracked open the good book to them and read them something from it. Never have taught them anything from the Word of God. Never one thing. You know what? I'm not your children's pastor. I'm the pastor of Scenic Hills Baptist Church, but you know what? You know who is the head over your home, man? It's you. I'm not the head over your wife. You are. You're the head of your wife. And I'll pastor the best way that I can. But you know what? I can't pastor outside these four walls. So every single day of the week. You've got to be there. You've got to do something. You've got to be there to be the one that's going to have to do something about these things. Don't forget your children. Don't forget the tender ones, the little ones. Pray for them. Read to them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. But oftentimes we forget about the little things. We forget to pray. We forget to have our Bible time. We forget to have a little time spent with God every single day. We get busy with life and we forget the small things of life. Isn't it say over in Ecclesiastes that the little foxes spoil the vines? It's just little foxes. It's just little things. A little slip here, a little slip there. A little slip in our love for God. You know what? All of a sudden, the whole entire vineyard's destroyed. And we're looking at it and we say, what happened? You know, that's what guys say oftentimes when they're losing their marriage. They say, I don't understand what happened. Well, you fought and cussed and said everything wrong that you could say to your wife. You work 24/7. You're never home to be with her. And then you wonder why she's looking for attention from somebody else. It's probably because she never gets any attention from you. Why does my husband act like that? Why do I want to talk to him? Because all you do is nag him. All you do is on his case. You're just like a monkey on his back, all the time saying something to him. And you won't just all of a sudden just relinquish some of your leadership and say, you know what? I'm going to let you be a leader for a moment. You know what? If you did that and actually meant that, ladies, your husbands are going to be dumbfounded and their jaws are going to hit the floor. And then they're going to have no idea what to do. That's fine. Let them be like that for a few days. Maybe they'll go to God and stop going to you for some things and say, you know what? God, I need your help. I need your decisions. I need what you need me to do, God. You see, all this boils down to this. Do we love God enough to listen to God's Word, to do the little things in life, to just do the little stuff? But then He says what? Feed my sheep. Take care of my flock. Did you notice those personal pronouns? I have no business in this idea that Peter is the head of the church. And he was the number one. You know what? Phooey on all that mess. That's just heresy. The leader of the church, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And the cornerstone was not built upon Peter, it was built upon Jesus. He said, feed my flock, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. They're His. And I tell you what, this probably hit home with me more than any of the rest of the sermon, because you know what? I'm just the under-shepherd of the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I look out across this congregation, this awesome congregation today, and you know what I have in my heart? You know what? I've got to feed you. I've got to feed you. And I hope today we're feeding you. And sometimes it's a plate of bitter herbs. Sometimes it's not easy. Not many amens going on this morning. That's okay. Because you know what? We need this sometimes. We need to check our love at the door. We need to check our love with Jesus Christ every single day and say, do I love Him? That's what preaching does to us. That's what preaching is good for us. It says, do I love Him? Do I love Him? And then feed His sheep.
Are you going to, you know, how are you going to do it sometimes in life? Because there's going to be some people in your life too that you're going to have to take some responsibility over. And you're going to have to help. You're going to have to guide. You're going to have to help them. Doesn't the Bible say, doesn't it say, love thy neighbor as thyself? Doesn't it say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Doesn't the Bible say, Jesus even says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you what? Love one another? Love one another? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And this is a command that's often forgotten in the context, but he says it twice. And it is this, follow me. Follow me. We'll be quick to close with it, but I sum it up like this. Peter asked him, do you love me? He asked him, Peter, three times, do you love me? And three times he says, feed, feed, feed. He even says, Peter, you're going to die for me. Now, Peter, I'll tell you this, follow me. Go over to John chapter 15 and verse number 9. You're just a couple of chapters away. Do you love Jesus? Well, it says in verse number 9 of John 15, I could read the whole chapter, but I won't. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you love me, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I could keep going. But I'll stop there and say this, and close by saying, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus? Then let me ask you this final question. Are you willing to live for Jesus? It's a whole lot easier sometimes to ask and to say, I'll die for Jesus. Peter said it. But at the time, he didn't mean it. And I think maybe you have said it. Maybe I've said it too. Yes, I'll die for Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. But at the time, well, maybe our love just wasn't where it should have been. If you really want to prove to God, to Jesus, to everybody else that you love Jesus, live for Jesus. Live for Him. Keep His commandments. Hear what He has to say. Respond to what He has to say. And listen to what He has to say. Father,